Lawrence, how long does it take you, you know, you record Fellowship every Thursday, how long does it take you to upload everything onto the website, like when...
It all depends if I'm editing stuff out, whether what's going on, like if there's disturbance or I can cut something out, I'll cut it out. I listen to it. See, the thing is, what people don't realise, I do listen to it all the way through. So if it's 4 hours long, that's 4 hours long. That's half a day, right?
Wow.
Yeah. And then I always put my sharings up and Kip's sharings or one of our sharings up.
Yeah.
And it all depends what's going on and then the time we finish. So what I've decided to do now, we finish late, I'm just going to bed. And if I get around to doing them the next day, I'd do it, or I try and get them up by Saturday. See, what I do, so I got the dictaphone here, and I start recording when we start the fellowship, yeah? So it's recorded here, and it's recorded online. And I download the recording from the Zoom, and this recording, and I compare them to see what the quality is like. If the other one's better quality, I use that. Then I convert the file. So that's it. That could take 20 minutes to convert that file down to a size manageable. Then I got to put it into a program called Audacity. That's the audio editing program. And then I'll extract my sharing out. I'll extract Danny's or Amber's or Kim's or whatever from the fellowship. And then I might even do you or someone else. It all depends what time I've got. And because people want them straight away, even though they just suck through it, you know.
I know. Then
I got to open up the website. I got the page. I got to design the page. I got to then get the photo. Got to design the photo. And then that thing where it spins around when you go on there, a gift. It's called a gift. It's a picture within a gift. So that gift, it moves. So I got to do that plus the picture. Then I got to put that up, upload the audio up. Then I got to tag it, do meta tagging on there, and then I got to think of the title. That's the worst thing. Thinking of the title for the sharing. When you're speaking by the Spirit, you know you're being inspired by God. You're saying so many different things. You think, oh, what? Sometimes I get Katy Clark to help me. Katy, look, can you help me get a title for this and a brief description? So I got to give a brief description. So by the time that's all done. Then I got to publish it. Then I got to write up the email. I send it through WhatsApp and I send it through the email. So I don't have everyone emails. Like I haven't got Peter Lloyd's email. Still, yeah, Peter. I send it through the WhatsApp and I send it through my email. And then the links for this fellowship, I'll also send it individually in the Facebook. Yeah. So there's quite a few people that get it and whether they respond or not is up to them.
But yeah.
I still make it available to certain people. And then, so it all takes time. Like, you know, it is like time consuming all the time. And then I'm doing the one-on-ones.
It's so busy.
And one-on-ones on the phone, on my little phone here. And there's always messages coming through. Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome.
So there's a lot to do. And on that side, so I'm in the office all the time. It gets a bit boring sometimes, you know, but I stay there. I'm speaking in tongues and I'm doing it heartily unto God. So when I'm doing all this, I'm thinking I'm doing this for God, like, you know, I'm serving God this way as well.
He wouldn't want to do anything else, Murray.
Yeah, I'm quite happy to do what I'm doing. Like if I go, like when we went on holiday, I made it quite clear. I want a good internet connection where we're going. And if I need to take a call, I take a call. If I need to do the website, I do the website. We will be doing Zoom fellowship. So the poor family have to put up with me on those things. But it's just my passion. It's just my life. This is my life, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that's why God's first. I don't let anything else distract it. That's me personally. I'm not saying everyone else has to be like that, but what you put into God, you'll get out from God as well, you know? And, your life is a service to other people. So my life isn't my own, really. You know, because that's how we should live our lives with God. And when you get to, God brings you to that place. So it's not something you could do manufactured, else it'd be religious. You might just go and join a nunnery, you know. So, or become a priest. And, you know, because it's done manufactured in a way, like a calling is a calling. And when God calls you to something, then when you're outside of that, you never feel satisfied within your heart. This is me personally, like, so I know that if you was to say you've got a dream to be something in your life, but you're not doing that right now, you feel you've got something missing, don't you? But when you find your purpose, okay, God, what is my purpose? Number one is to live unto God, right? Number one. But there might be a career path that you want to follow or something that you want to do, a dream. And when you're following your dream, then you're being satisfied. And when you're not following that dream, you're dissatisfied with life and you go into many different pies, right? Many different avenues. But you can get focused with God and you can find your purpose. And like all of our purposes as believers is to live unto God. Now we're born again, we're new creation in Christ. And we do have a responsibility, right? Because even though it's all grace, like it's God's grace, we choose, he gives us to choose. He doesn't violate our free will choice, you know. Now we've been bought with a price. Mm. Our life is not our own. The scriptures show us that, you know. And that we should, if we desire to, we should live unto God because we recognize what's been done for us, what the cost was, what God had to do to bring us this wonderful life in Christ. And so when we understand that really now as believers, we've got the carnal life. We can live a carnal life if we want to. But as believers, we can really move forward. So when we're in between, that's where we get the emotions come up, the attacks come up, uncertainty in life come up. But once you know your focus, then you just go for it. You don't care about what anyone says because when you get on the path of your dream and your desire that God's put in your heart, there'll be many voices against you, many challenges, many people say you don't know what you're doing, you can't do it. I think with anyone that's been successful in this, in their life, whatever career path they've done, they've had these same challenges. Yeah. And, but if you stay focused with what you want and what God's put in your heart, that dream, that desire, then God will lead you through that. And through that journey and process, you're growing and you're recognizing and you're evaluating and you're seeing what's good and what's not so good, what to leave. Who to have around you, your circle of people you have around you is very important. Are these people just for you or are they for the message or the dream and desire you're going for? Because a lot of people can be with you. They might like you, but they're not for your message. So you've got that type of person. Then you've got people that are for your message, but they're really not for you. They think they can do a better job or somebody else could do it, right? So there's many different scenarios that can play out with people, but what I pray for is like labels, people with the same desire as me.
Yeah.
And that is to move with God. And then you'll start to see that your circle won't be so big when it comes to initial people that are your nucleus. So like Jesus, he had many disciples, but he had 12, his nucleus, his close ones. And then these close ones start to show up, you know, and then you start to recognize, okay, this is someone that God's brought into my path that is going to be an encourager to me as well as me encourage them, right? It's a two-way flow. So, yeah, there's lots of things I've learned on this journey and still learning. I don't even think I'm even halfway there yet, you know? So I feel like I'm always beginning, but that keeps me moving and motivated. I'm not satisfied with where I am, put it that way. I'm blessed where I am. I'm happy, but I'm not satisfied. I know there's more.
Yeah.
And so it keeps me pursuing forward and I realize it takes time. It takes maturing and it takes, you know, like you get days where you just think, what's the point? You know, everyone gets those things. We're human, right? But it's the desire that keeps you driving and moving forward. And then I realize it needs a commitment. So when you make those committed decisions that I'm always going on about, you won't go forward unless you make a committed decision in the area of pursuit that you're going for, right? Whatever area that is, whether it be God, whether it be your career move, whether it be moving house, you might be indecisive, or whatever path you're taking. So these are the things I've personally learned. I'm not saying I'm 100% right in everything I'm saying because I'm still learning, but I think I'm close to being right in a lot of things that I'm saying. And I know that if you study and listen, like I would never read books, but I like to read now. I'm interested in how people become successful because if someone that is an unbeliever can become successful, how much more someone that is a believer can become successful. Yeah. And then I realize there's also disciplines in our walk. So if I want to be good with my finances, there's a discipline. What is that discipline? I'm trying to find out what it is. So once I realize number one is the honoring God. Number two is the stewardship of those finances And when you've been someone that's never been good with money or never handled money correctly, because you never were taught, and then now I'm designed to do that, then when I go to God, he's shown me how to do that. And then he's given me the wisdom of how to be a good steward, and that why do I need to be a good steward? You see what I'm saying? So we're stewards of God. But even in the unbelieving world, there's lots of people that are very good at stewarding stuff, yeah? And they become successful in those areas of stewardship. So stewardship is a really big thing. And, you know, like attitudes towards money, for an example. You know, money makes the world go round. Money is what puts food on your table and what puts a roof over your head. And if your attitude towards it is wrong, then you could be limited. So, for an example, people in the world, and even I did at one time, would chase money. I need to get a good job. I need to work. Because if I put 12 hours in, I can earn this today. If I do that, like with window cleaning, if you do more hours this lorry, you can get more, like, you know. And, or get someone to help you, you can duplicate your money and all this stuff. So what I realized was I was a servant to money. And because I was a servant to money, I couldn't be servant to God. So there was a choice. You can't serve God and mammon, right? Now we need mammon. God knows we need those things to help us in this world. But when we put it into a greater perspective from God's perspective, then we can start to prosper and enjoy. Like, so people will use an excuse, for an example, the love of money is the root of all evil, right? That's true. The love of it, loving that more than God, chasing that more than God, is the root of all evil. It's going to take you down all the wrong paths. Money in and of itself is not evil. Money is good, and money can be your friend. And also, money should be your servant, not your master. So money was my master for a long time, because I thought, and I was always taught, you got to work hard, you got to pursue this, you got to do that, and all these type of things, right? So again, it's down to perspective and what you've been taught and what you learn. But when you go after God, he can teach you these wonderful things, which he's taken me for a process of learning. And then it's taken me a process of changing my thinking and attitudes towards things, and then applying it and getting the result from that. So, yeah, so that's what, you know, like, about goals and desires and building websites. Like, I never thought I could do a website. It was all computers. I didn't have a clue. I started off with a little MySpace page. And then I started off with a one-page website. And then I realized, oh, I could put teachings up. So then I started to learn how to do links. And then I wanted something bigger. So then I learned to WordPress. That's what the website I got now is WordPress, which is quite easy to use once you know those other little things. And then you can just teach yourself. So like YouTube do a lot of tutorials. So I use some of that, and then I just practice. So by repetition, I got used to knew what to do. But it took time and it took effort to learn that. You know, it took me investing in time, which is very important. Time is more important than money. You know what I mean, as well. But like time again, our time, utilizing our time. But now I got the website up and running, and I can do a lot of different things. I went on to videos, doing the videos, audios. And so, yeah, one thing rolls into another. So that answered your question, Marie.
Absolutely. Brilliant.
Yeah, that was jam-packed with good stuff. Thanks. And how cool is it that you can teach yourself all that? You know what I mean? Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I take no credit. The only credit I take is the time that I decided to do it. I asked God to help me and to help me understand. Because don't forget, even though I went to school, I didn't learn anything in school. I was hardly that. I only went to the senior school maybe twice, and then got put into a boarding school, and I never even went to the school then, and I lived in there. So I didn't want to learn. I was not interested in learning, because I was always told I was thick and stupid and couldn't do anything. So I was never interested in learning. What's the point? I'm thick and I'm stupid and I can't learn anything. That's what I was told. That's what I was believed, you know. So with all that kind of mindset and attitude, having the wrong attitude through the wrong words spoken to me, then I never thought I could amount to much. I thought I'd only get in trouble all the time, so I was getting in trouble all the time. But thank God that he intervened. He was there all the time. I wasn't born again all the time, but I know when I was 15, definitely got born again of the Spirit of God. And then he's just taking me step by step, and it's been a rough journey, to be quite honest with you. It's been like, It hasn't been plain sailing or easy sailing by any means. I think any journey or pursuit isn't going to be easy by any means. And, you know, you're going to have your up days, your down days. And even in our walk as believers, we have our up days and down days. Yes, we're born again of the Spirit of God. We're seated at the right-hand side of God. But challenges still come, don't they? We don't ask for them. We're not looking for them. But they still arise up. We know there's a God of this world, Satan. You know, we know he's defeated also. But he still manages to do something to try and get us off this way that God's put us on. And then, like, I had a great one-on-one with Becky today, and we were talking about mind, thoughts, and emotions. You know, where do emotions come from? You know, and how do we deal with them? And we can deal with them. Literally, we can. And it's, again, about the practice where we set our mind, where we set our thoughts, our responses, our reactions. And so, you know, it's God that educated me. I give all the glory to God. He's educated me, literally. And it's been through trial and error as well. You know, there have been many times I've teach something in the fellowship before I started, way before I started the student fellowship, and realized what I taught was not right. So I'd have to come back the next week and say, oh, basically, what I was teaching you there, it was wrong. But this is the right thing. And so, like, we've got to be willing to say, look, yeah, I was wrong. If you can't say you're wrong, then there's a big problem, you know, because you're never going to move forward because you won't learn from it. And if you're big enough to say, look, yeah, I was wrong in the situation, you know, okay, but I recognize the mistake. I put these things right now. I'm heading in the right direction according to understanding and advice or other people that have walked the path before me, then you can really go far with God. So it's all about heart, and heart is where believing comes from. It's not about your educated mind, but it's about the heart and the willingness to change, to adapt, to learn, to fall down, to get back up, to make mistakes, to correct the mistakes, to move on, come back stronger. Because anything that we go through in this life, in this walk with God, we're going to get stronger. We might blow it day after day, but if our heart is still there to learn and to move forward, we can, but we'll make mistakes. We'll be stronger if a similar situation like that arises. So, you know, thank be to God, we live the best life, even through the good times and the bad times, even through the challenging times. But there is a lot to think about, you know, because every single one in here, and I know there's people been a believer a lot longer than me on this fellowship right now, and they get challenged with emotions. They get challenged with depression. You can deal with them. You can really deal with them. You can recognize them, and you can nip them in the bud. And so I had a great one-on-one today, and it was about these things. Maybe that person might share along those lines. But I know it helps, and I know it helped me too, and it's good to go through these things. So, you know, God is the author of life, and he's given us life. He knows what it's about. He knows all about the fall, all about the temptation. We know that Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord and Savior and Master, he was tempted in all things like as we are, yet without sin, right? And he was perfect. Jesus Christ had emotions, and he had some bad emotions whipped up in him, but he didn't sin. So there's nothing wrong with getting emotions. It's what you do with them and how you direct them. And what we need to do is learn to do what he done, and that's direct those emotions to God and not dwell on them. Because it starts with a thought or a circumstance or a situation, and then we're sitting there and we're thinking, oh, I got to think. I got to go and hide away and really think about this situation. Really think about this problem. The only thing you need to do is go away and say, God, this is the problem. I give it to you. Now, you direct me what I need to do in this situation. And we can see great examples of Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, for an example. You know, when people brought the woman caught in adultery, when he was dealing with different people in different situations, he was challenged. You know, he even got upset at times as well, had tears. Some of anger, some of sadness, because people just didn't see the truth. So life is very complex, but God is the giver of life. So we stay with God, we follow his direction, and we do what he puts in our heart. And we listen to those wonderful heavenly words of encouragement and the wonderful wisdom that he puts in our heart via that Spirit. And we follow that and we move with that.